Unfortunately, we won't have time to finish, but we'll do what we could do, and hopefully it will be Latoala. So, Kedarkenu, we're going to not skip, start from the beginning, which is actually Bikur Cholim, and go straight. We might do a couple of things slightly out of order, like when we begin Hochos Avelos to see Shin Tzadi Ches, which is Avelos Deoraisa, even though it's at the very end, it makes sense to do it at the beginning and the like. But more or less, I think the intention is to go straight. So again, we're going to be mekatzer in many things, just because of the time. And I hope that at least during Seder, you'll have a chance to go through Tor Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch and Nosi Kelim, though obviously some things more than others. Okay, so Bikur Cholim, Simen Shin Lamed Hei. The Gemara, as you saw, highlights two aspects to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. One is taking care of the needs of the patient, and the second is tefillah. There's a story that highlights each of these. Ma'aseh b'Talmid Achad mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva shechala lo nichnasu chachamim levakra v'nichnasu Rabbi Akiva levakra v'shvil shekibdo v'rivtzo lefanav chaya amar lo Rabbi hechiyisani yatz Rabbi Akiva v'darash kol mi she'enu mevakar cholim ki'ilu shofech damim. So Rabbi Akiva's story highlights the importance of visiting the patient and taking care of their needs. In fact, the word Bikur Cholim probably focuses on that aspect. Bikur means not visiting literally, but it means investigation, like Bikur Mumin or the like. So it means going to visit the patient and seeing what he needs, and if you're able to help him in any way, take care of them. And the second story that the Gemara highlights refers to the tefillah component. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amar Kol HaMevakar Sachol Agorim Lo Sheyichya, V'chol She'eino Mevakar Sachol Agorim Lo Sheyamos, Ma'i Garma, Ilei Makol Mevakar Sachol HaMevakar Shal Avracham Sheyichya, V'chol She'eino Mevakar Sachol HaMevakar Shal Avracham Sheyamos, Sheyamos HaKadaitach, El Kol She'eino Mevakar Chola, Ein Mevakesh Al Avrachamim, Lo Sheyichya V'lo Sheyamos. And as you saw, the Shulchan Aruch, based off the Ramban, says, you're not making the mitzvah if you don't do this aspect as well, the aspect of tefillah. They're both presumably important, pivotal. If you look at some sources, stress that the ikkar is one, others stress the ikkar is the other. Moshe's Atshuva, that there is no ikkar. I'd like to highlight perhaps one additional element of the mitzvah, perhaps a third element, or perhaps a central element. It's actually interesting that if you look at the Lashon of the Torah, these two reasons are given for why Bikur Cholim is such an important mitzvah, why it's so great. But maybe a third element to it is the reus aspect of it, that you're the aspect of simply a friendship. In fact, the paradigm for Bikur Cholim, as you saw from the Torah from the Ramban, is Avram's Hashem visiting Avram Avinu when he was sick. Now, those two reasons aren't really shayach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to visit to take care of Avram's needs. He could have taken care of Avram's needs without visiting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly a tefillah in the way that we have it with respect to a chola is in shayach klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is there, klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, what is the idea that Hashem visited him? And that friendship, that act of friendship, that showing that you care and the like, is relevant. And that's true even if there's no physical things you could do for the patient. You know, we know that a lot of the time when patients are in the hospital, so there are nurses and the like. Sometimes there are things we could do, but probably more often than not, kivdo v'rivtso and the like isn't so shayach. Still there a little bit, but certainly that reyus element is there. And perhaps that explains a machlokas in the Rama. The Rama in the Darkei Moshe Aleph writes that the Maril says that you should be mevaker sono. In other words, you have your enemy, you should still do Bikur Cholim. And the Rama disagrees. He says, it's aser, just like we find nichem aveilim, that sone aser l'nachem aveilim v'uadin l'bikur cholim. So, what's the machlokas? Maybe the Maril understood that the ikur is the practical help you're giving the patient. And here you're not going to practically help him. You could practically help him, right? Even though you don't get along too well. But Lamaisa, if he needs his bandages changed, you could change his bandages. And certainly you could daven for him just because you don't get along. But the Rama stresses the Reyes component. And with respect to the Reyes, so you're not Reyim, and you're not going to make the guy feel good about your friendship if you're enemies. Okay, maybe the best thing to do is make up, but assuming that's not going to happen, so then, you could physically take care of him, and you could even daven for him, but the Reyes Shabo isn't going to happen. We find that the many sources stress the importance of what Ohavim could do when they're Mevaker Cholim. It's a Gemara. The Medrash says it a little differently. I'll read it to you from the Medrash. Amar Rav Yochanan, kol mishu Mevaker Cholim, ma'avirin mimenu echad meshishin b'chol yom. If you do Biker Cholim, you could take away 1/60th of his sickness. Umisha enu Mevakro, mosifin lo echad meshishim. Amar Rav Yabba, im kemine de Rav Yochanan, yaskun legabe bish, Shisin b'nei insha v'yaskun leiso. Very good. Just send 60 people, and they'll make them all better. Amar leu v'lvadshu oavim oso k'nafsham. So, but there's a condition, which is that they have to love him. In other words, for this, for Biker Cholim to be maximally effective, they have to love the guy.
Would I'll be the medrash that being what Ben Gilo means in the
Gemara? We'll get to what Ben Gilo means in a second. Ba'afal pichein marvichalo. Okay, the medrash says that even if they don't love it that much, it helps a little bit, but it's not going to have that same effect. And again, perhaps that's another source stressing the Reyes component. So you brought up, what does Ben Gilo mean? Right, the Gemara Nedarim Daf Memad Aleph says that Moridim Echad Meshishim Shalo, and you get it if you're Ben Gilo. So what does that mean? That if you're Ben Gilo, you get you take off 1/60th and get it yourself. Again, that's not what the Medrash is stressing. So it's not clear what Ben Gilo means. The Meiri says that it means that if he loves him, and he's Arev Alav Mitzad Hanaso Mimenu. So, according to Meiri, maybe the Medrash and the Gemara are talking about the same thing. Others give different explanations. The Ran and the Rush say it means they are born in the same mazel. The Mefarish in the Dharm says it means like they're the same age group, I guess. Okay. Yes?
It's a little ambiguous. I don't know if they're really not coming, just a Havana. Mm-hmm. Is this like a psychological bar, or is this like a Matarka
Mestama both. Mestama both. In other words, I think the Gemara Nedarim Ben Gilo focus sounds like this is more metaphysical or supernatural or the like, whereas I think the Medrash is stressing the other aspect, which is that when a patient feels loved, so that's something that also helps in his recovery.
What meaning? You could sort of say that in the Medrash, but the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah are saying it, if they say Afilu Ben Gilo, is mashma that it's not a psychological bar.
Yeah. That's based off the Gemara Nedarim. Yeah. I agree. So I quote the Medrash for the other round. Yes?
Is there a rhyme with the bar? Like the keyboard or something?
Maybe. Okay. Good. So, Sif Dalet talks about what time you should be Mevaker. You shouldn't go early in the morning because the patient's looking very robust in the morning and you're not going to daven enough. And you shouldn't go late in the day because he's going to look mamish eshver matzav. You're also not going to be davening enough. You're going to think it's a lost cause. Go in the middle of the day. It highlights the point that when we talk about tefillah, so again, this is not easy, but we don't mean just like saying, nice to see you. That you're probably makan your mitzvah if you do that. You see it especially in terms of the sugya and what you can and can't do on Shabbos, which we'll get to in a minute. But it means mamish, a tefillah that breaks a person. And it's very hard to get to such a state. which is why you're not going to arrive at that state if he's looking too healthy. You're not going to arrive at that state if he's looking too sick. That's why you have to be there, right? In other words, you know, the poskim talk extensively. We're going to skip that discussion, whether you can fulfill the mitzvah bikur cholim on the telephone or not. But there's no question that even if you could do some things on the phone, you could ask him, do you need any help? You could daven, though you're not there, you're not b'makom hashchina. But, you know, like the famous bar from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, when you're at the patient's bedside and you see his suffering and his pain, you're able to daven in a way that you could never daven if you just, you know, they announce in shul, you know, Ben Plony is sick, let's all daven for him. It's a totally different thing when you're there and you see him, and in fact, you see from this halacha that it very much affects that influences the time of day that you should visit the patient. The Divrei Sofrim writes, of course, that if you can't visit him at the perfect time as indicated by the Shulchan Aruch, like for example, you work during the day, so you either have to visit him early in the morning before you go to work, or in the evening after you come home from work. So Vadeh, that's better than nothing. All things being equal, so then you should follow the guidelines of the Shulchan Aruch in terms of when is the best time to visit him. But certainly it's not Ma'akev. Sidvav discusses the halachos of Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. The Gemara on Shabbos says, Ve'en menachem aveilim, ve'en mevakrin cholim b'Shabbos, tevei reisham ve'isil matirin. Tanu Rabbanan, so we pass on the course like Beis Hillel, that you are mevakir cholim on Shabbos. Hanichnas levakir sachayla oimer Shabbos imelizok urefura krova lavo. That's the Tanakama. Reb Meir Omer, Yichol Shabbos hi shetirachem. In other words, the chus of Shabbos is going to be mirachim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamakum mirachim alecha v'alchol Yisrael. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Hamakum mirachim alecha b'sochol Yisrael, which we accept as well, that we're kolel v'chol with everybody else. Shavna Yishu Yishalayim, b'knisasu Omer Shalom, v'tziyasu Omer Shabbos milizok v'fur korov lavo, mirachim av merubin. The Shachan Ar Semen writes that you should also say mirachim av merubin, even though that's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch here. V'shavso v'shalom. K'man nazal had Rabbi Chanina, mi sheyesh l'chol b'soch beiso tzarech, she'arvenu b'soch chol Yisrael. K'man k'Rabbi Yosi. So we accept this idea of Rabbi Yosi, that when you're davening for chola, you should always say b'soch chol Yisrael. And that's, of course, what we do. So what exactly is meant when we say Shabbos hi melizok? So the Ran writes, what does this mean? Eino yachol avakish rachmim achshav, shal yidei kein yorer bechi v'yitztayer. In other words, a person can't properly daven on Shabbos. Why? Because you're going to start crying, and you're going to have a lot of pain, and that goes against Shabbos. We'll talk about what you do in an emergency situation in a minute, but assuming that he's not about to die, he's not in immediate imminent danger, so then you shouldn't be mevakesh rachamim as you normally would, right? Because like we said, the bakashas rachamim is one that's supposed to be very intense. Ella omer lahem tanchumin shelo yitztaru. So instead of davening as you normally would, you should say tanchumin. Now it's interesting because what's the lashon of the Gemara? Right, Shabbos himalizok or a fur krova lavo. I think usually we think that means Shabbos himalizok. So I can't like be zoic, I can't cry and scream, but I'm going to still daven a little bit. Refuah krova lavo. That's sort of like the way we say it in the Mishaberach and Shol, right? That it's a tefila. In other words, obviously, assuming we the Mishaberach does not follow the Ran, right? Because if Shabbos himalizok or fur krova lavo means I can't cry, but Refuah krova lavo, tanchumen, like Hashem, you know, it's said in the lashon of a bracha, but together it's tanchumen, everything's going to be okay, refuah krova lavo, and the like, so then you wouldn't include it in the Misha Beirach that you say at Shul, right? So, obviously, whoever authored the Misha Beirach is not assuming like the Ran, is assuming that Shabbos himalizok means you shouldn't cry a lot, but refuah krova lavo, it's okay to at least offer some bakasha. Whereas again, the Ran explains it as Shabbos himalizok, meaning we can't daven. El omer lan divrei tanchumin shelo yitztaru, before Karav Lava was begeder Tanchumin. Now, this issue gets into a broader issue, which we're not going to get into now, which is the gader of Bakashas Rachamim on Shabbos, and what type of tefillos are appropriate and what types of tefillos are inappropriate. Does the Bavli, do we paskin like the Yerushalmi in terms of the prohibition against davening and on Shabbos Bakashas? It's a big sugya, so we're not going to do it now. Sif Yud, so the Rama writes in the Darkei Moshe, that's quoted in the Halacha, a Halacha, it's important to know. I think Litvak sometimes think that this is like a Hasidisha Indian, but it's actually Paskind in Shulchan Aruch. The Nemuke Yosef writes, based off of the Gemara, in Bava Basra, Darash Rabbi Pinchas, kol mi sheyesh lo chol besoch beiso, yei lechei tzolchachem yivakesh olav rachamim. Shenemar, right, so you should go to the Chacham and ask for a rachamim, ask the Chacham to daven. In Sarfas, they used to go to the Rav, HaRav HaTofes Yeshiva Shivarech Oso, and that halacha is cited in the Ramah. Yesh Omer Sheyesh L'chol HaBeveso, Yelch Eitzel Chacham, V'Yivakesh, Shivakesh Olav Rachamim. And then he writes, V'chein Nahagu, L'Varecholim Beveis HaKnesses. So what does L'Varecholim Beveis HaKnesses mean? So maybe you think it means the Mishaberach that we say in Shul. So L'chora not. You see, it's interesting. From the Darkei Moshe, it is clear that that Minhag is a kiyum of Yelech Eitzel Chacham, right? The Lashon of the Darkei Moshe is V'nirash Shemizeh Nahagu Be'elu HaMedinos L'varech HaChol Abveis HaKnesses U'Levakish Olav Rachamim. In other words, from the Gemara tells us Yelech Eitzel Chacham, and from that arose the minhag that that the tzibur davens for the chola. In other words, this isn't two separate things, but it's a fulfillment of one of the first. Now yivarech lechola, so the Aruch HaShulchan writes that we do this during Kriyas HaTorah. Why? De'az rachamim is orer. But it's not referring to the nusach that we say, the mishaberach for cholim. The nusach is quoted by the Rishonim over here and elsewhere. The Lashon is in the Kolbo, for example. The Orchus Chaim quotes it. It's a little different. I've never heard... it's actually sort of similar to a bakasha people say privately. It's like this: Hashem Elokei Ha'alokim, Adonai Adonim, Moshe Be'alyonim, V'tachtonim, Hanosin Leif Koach, V'le'en Onim, Zechor Lanu Hayom, V'chol Yom, Vris Abir Rishonim, Vris Yud Gimel Mido, Shel Rachlim, Tachnunim, Aksuvim, B'Torascha, V'chulei V'chulei, about this long bakasha for the Chola. Now, again, I don't think... that's a nusach that we find the Rishonim had. That's not the Ma'akev. The Iker is obviously the Tefillah. Now, if you look at the Raman Or Chaim Reish Peches, it writes that you shouldn't use this Tefillah on Shabbos unless he's Mesukan. But it is mutter to say a Mishaberach even though there's no Sakana. That's what it says in the Sif Yud. There, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about what you could daven for on Shabbos. So generally, ein mis'anin al shem tzara me'atzaros klal. And then it says in Sif Yud, d'chol hu adin l'chol chol shesh b'sakana sayom zokam mis'aninim v'chinegu lomar mitzalim b'shabes al cholim ha'mesukanim sakana sayom hagav v'chin mutal v'arach ha'chayla ha'mesukan bo bayom. Now there is this bracha, which again is like an intense tefillah. So you shouldn't say unless he's misukan hayom, right? When someone is misukan hayom, so bikuach nefesh is dochel Shabbos. So the discussion we're not going to get into now whether how that applies to whether that applies to davening, right? You allow the Yuchal Shabbos to send a kapitel to the Rebbe to daven. So it's a very interesting discussion. The Rashba and the Rambam about Refuah Skulios and the like. The Pashta says we assume that you're a lot of Milchal Shabbos for medical intervention, not non-medical intervention. But you are allowed to daven intensely if the chol is in imminent danger. Otherwise, though, you're not allowed to daven intensely on Shabbos. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, still, the Mishnah Berurah, we say, is okay. Aval mi she'enu mesukan lo, uksha'osin mishabech l'chola, she'en bo sakana, omer Shabbos im elizok for kor lovo. And that solves the problem. Why? Because it makes sure that we don't get too carried away. So I've never seen anyone, making the gabbai makes the mishabech l'chola on Shabbos and start crying. I don't know. Gavva here. So that's because we say Shabbos in Elizo.
I don't make Mishaber as a chink.
It's true. So we say Shabbos in Elizo. So the Mishaber says that when the Rama says, when the Shulchan Aruch says over here that you don't make this bracha for the chol unless he's mesukin lo'osu yom, that's not talking about the Mishaber in Shul. Yeah.
How is the tefillah of Tzibur Rekim of the Yilchitz HaChacham? Is that like a mistama if you publicize it?
So it could be in two ways. One is mistama, there'll be tzaddikim and chachamim that are going to daven, they're going to say amen. And two is that there's a zchus to the tzibur as well. In other words, the point of going to the chacham is the recognition that avadeh, the most important tefillos, are the tefillos of the chola. And also, the loved ones of the chol also could be very powerful, but the tefilos of a tzaddik are particularly powerful, and likewise the tefilos of a tzibur are particularly powerful. So that's how I understood the Rama. There's an interesting discussion. Won't get into it now, but Tshuvas HaRama about visiting sick people that have contagious diseases, infectious diseases. Are you allowed to? Are you not allowed to? The Rama basically says, yes, you should visit them unless it's rasan. In other words, perhaps unless it's extremely life-threatening or dangerous to visit, then you shouldn't put yourself in the sakana to visit a chola. There's a very interesting tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer about this, who says, well, what about the doctors? And he argues that doctors are different, that relates to a general question in terms of putting yourself in suffix sakana for the tzibur. What about policemen, firemen, doctors treating infectious diseases and the like? And he writes that that you should, if you're a doctor, that's what's obviously take whatever precautions you can, but he writes, v'nogel rofe gulei ashlomar debechlau tzivoy hakafel v'rapo yirape, that he is obligated to do that. It is in Tzitz Eliezer, long tshuva, Kedarko, very fascinating. Chelak Tassim and Yud Zayin, Kuntras Refuah B'Shabbos Parakei. His bottom line is, Kol Makom Nirad Barur Demutar Lo Shapir L'Rofei L'Sakin Esatzma L'Tapel Gam B'Cholim Neguim B'Machlos Madbeikos Mikol HaSugim Lo Aleinu U'V'Chol HaOfanim V'Od L'Mitzvah Rabba Techashev Lo Adavar Uma gam bitstarif lezeh deus haposkim hacholkim ala radvazu de'imei v'savri shebechlal yesh chiv ha'lehikanes b'safik sakanas nefashos b'shvil vade pikuach nefesh al chavero v'yukuyim bo mikro shekasov v'atem advekim v'ashem alokeichem chayim kuchem hayom. Okay, so that's Simon Shin Lamed Hei. Shin Lamed Vav is a discussion of Dine HaRofei. The Torah writes, Tana de Beir Rabbi Yishmael, v'rapo yirape mikan shenitna rishus l'rofe l'rapos, shelo yomar mali litzar hazeh, shema et v'nimtzesi horig nefashos b'shogeg, v'hu shizar me'od, kemo sheroi lizar b'dine nefashos, inami shelo yomar kadosh baruch hu mo'chet v'ni erpa. So there are two avaminas why you would have thought that a doctor shouldn't treat patients. One is, maybe I'll kill the guy. And two is more of a theological point, which is, what is it my business to contravene God's will? God made this guy sick. Why should I be the one to heal him? And from the pasuk, we learn that they're both wrong. The Bach deals with the question from Asa in Divrei Hayamim that v'gam b'cholyo lo darashes Hashem ki berofim, which implies it's aser lisrapos miyad harofe b'maka ba bidei shemayim. And the Bach answers Yesh Lomar delefi shelo darash b'Hashem klal ki im berofim bilvad. No, the pasuk means to say that if you exclusively turn to doctors, that's inappropriate. Lekach nanash, aval imbatach b'Hashem sheyishlach lo refua al yedei harofe. You look at doctors as the shluchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu by which Hashem will send you a refua. So then, mutar lidrosh b'rofim afil b'maka haba bidei shamayim. And that, of course, is the minag. There's an interesting question, of course, when it comes to the pursuit of medical treatment, what type of bitachon is appropriate. Specifically, I used to be bothered by the question that when it comes to hishtadlos, let's say for parnasa, so if you look at many sfarim, they say that a person should have the attitude that this is just hishtadlos and success is tali b'yad Hashem. So whatever is normal hishtadlos, that's how much I should do. And not necessarily more. If I do more than normal hishtadlos, so then that shows a lack of bitachon. Yet when it comes to seeking medical treatment, so many people, and among them gedolim, seek the super duper best doctor. It seems like much more than normal hishtadlos. Like most people, like, you know, regular doctor's okay. You don't have to get the number one doctor in the whole entire world. Travel halfway around the world to go there. So there's a couple of letters from the Chazon Ish on this topic. One says, "Ukshani la'atzmi hineni choshev es ha'hishtadlos hativis b'mash nogei l'vias l'mitzvah v'chova uke'achas ha'chovos l'ashlamas tzuras ha'adam." So that hishtadlos is a chova. Asher tbiya ha'yotzer baruch hu b'matbei olamo u'matzinu me'amorayim she'halchu etzel rofim me'umos ha'olam u'minim. They didn't just seek Jewish doctors. If there was a non-Jewish doctor or heretic, they would go there if they were better. Ki shtei anetios mikav ha'emes hameduyak einan yesharos im livtoach yoser mimadregas habitachon shigati alav be'emes v'im lahamin b'shtadlos yoser midai. So a person must draw a fine line, as the Bach was noting, which is, while a person must do hishtadlos, you can't be overly mamin in the hishtadlos. And it's easier said than done to be doing this hishtadlos, which the Chazon Ish says is very appropriate. You know, the difference between an excellent doctor and an average doctor is huge on occasion. And at the same time, to not to believe in my hishtadlos yoser midai. Another doesn't say shelo lahamin. But at the same time, he warns, and this is an important yesod in bitachon, not to be boteach yoser mimadregas habitachon shegati elav be'emes. In other words, a person who has more ki'ilu, he acts with more bitachon than the madrega in bitachon that he's actually achieved, so that's inappropriate. That's not appropriate bitachon, that's lack of ishtadlos. And therefore, in a different letter, the Chazon Ish writes explicitly, "Tzvichim lasos al pi harofim hayoser mumchin." Another discussion in the Siman. Yes.
I mean, the teretz was, you're right, but lamaisa, the person's not holding by doing appropriate hishtadlos by refuah, because, like, lamaisa, he's not going to think to himself, it's like, well, I'm safe in this, average doctor from.
I think it's saying that if you go ahead and you don't choose the best treatment, then For most people, that's going to be begeder, solmchan al hanais. Unless they're at a madrega, shigati elav, a madrega and bitachon, shigati elav be'emes. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah also discusses over here the halachos of malpractice, which are very interesting. The source for this is a Tosefta and Gittin, Rofe Uman Sharipe Birshos, based in Mehizik Beshoge Pater Bemezid Chayav Mepnei Tikkun Olam. So if you're a Rofe Uman, A, you're qualified, and B, Ripe Birshos based in, you know, in, I guess, the modern day equivalent of you're a licensed doctor. So then, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, so you're Pater if you're Beshoge. In other words, even though we know that generally speaking, Ademur Li Olam, and for Nezik and Yerchai, Bein Beshogeg, Bein Bemezid, Bein Beonis, Bein Beratzon. So therefore, a doctor, if he was Hizik Beshogeg, should be Chayev under normal circumstances. Now, Hizik Beshogeg doesn't mean that the patient dies. A lot of times you might do the best course of treatment and carry it out perfectly, and still the patient will die. A hizik b'shogeg means he messed up. He did the wrong course, or he, you know, his hand slipped, or whatever it was. So therefore, under the normal rules of nezikin, you should be chayev. But mipnei tikkun olam, they were misakin your pater, right? Ask any doctor what's wrong with the medicine in America, and one of the first things they'll say a lot of things. But one of the things that they'll say is malpractice laws, which make it extraordinarily difficult to practice medicine and expensive, and a lot of times all sorts of treatments are done just so you don't get sued and things like that. So I guess that's part of the tikkun olam, that they're misakein that if you're rofe uman sharipe birshos based in, as long as you're b'shogeg, you are pater. Yeah, the Tosefta in Bava Kama says Rofi Uman Sharipe Birshos based in Vehizik Pater Chaval Yoser Min HaRa'ui Lo, so Harei Zachayev. What is Chaval Yoser Min HaRa'ui Lo? The way the Chason Yecheskel translates that is, or explains that is, Shekule Ha Yesh Biyado Leo Zahir Shelo Yazikenu Vimlo Hayanizhar Harei Zach Kemezid Vechayev. So if it comes from a lack of zehirus, so then that's not begeder shogeg when we say he's pater, but it's begeder mezid that he's chayev. The Beis Yosef points out from the Ramban, af kan medine adam pater v'na tashlomen, el she'enu pater medine yeshamayim, at yishalom hanezek v'igala v'yigla v'misa, hol v'noda sh'ta v'hizik, o hemis b'yadayim. So it could be that this takana of pater means in terms of bidine adam, but bidine shamayim you might still be chayev. The next thing that that's addressed over here in our simon is the permissibility of accepting money for medical fees. So the Torah writes, linyan schar rofe mutar lito schar batala v'tircha aval schar halimud aser davedas gufahu. Rachmana Amra, Vashivosolo, Lirabos Avedas Guva, Vaminan Bininasiasa Mitzvos, Mani Bechinam, Afatem Bechinam, Hilkach, Schara Chachma Valimud Aser, Aval, Schara Torech, Schara Batal, Amoter. So, Schara Torech and Batal, we'll define those shortly, is Mutter, but to Schara Limud, and certainly Schara Chachma Aser, why? It's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to someone who's a doctor to heal, and you're not allowed to take money for mitzvos. So look, the Beis Yosef writes, "Ul inyan schar rofe mutar litol schar batal v'tircha." Hakol lashon Ramban. The kasa b'sim drav hilkach schar chachma v'alimud aser dehavi le'kischar hazah v'akidush. That would be like a kohen taking money for the actual service in the mikdash. Aval schar torach mutar da'avei le'kischar hava. So in the avod in the mikdash schar hava, like schlepping as opposed to set up the avoda, as opposed to the actual performance of the avoda, is mutter. That's called tzchar havo miloi, based off of Gemara Bechoros. V'chein tzchar batala is mutter. What's tzchar batala? Presumably, what he could have been doing had he not been doing this. Right? Lufi osa malacha debatal minei. So how much is tzchar batala? So this comes up for learning as well. You know, it depends what you could be doing if you weren't practicing medicine. So some poskim say, at least in Chutz La'aretz, you have a very decent heter for practicing medicine and charging a lot of money. Because it's Char Batala. What's Char Batala? It's mutter to charge money to non-Jewish patients. So even if I'm charging Jews, my Char Batala is, see, let's say I'm a chashev doctor, so I could fill up all my slots, more or less. So I didn't have to take you, I could have been treating a guy. So the Char Batala is what I would have gotten if I was treating a guy. So that's the same amount as what it is to treat a Jew. Okay, maybe it's not so pashut in Eretz Yisrael. Or it might be, you know, somebody whose all their patients are Jewish. You know, I don't know. It's obviously, and this comes up again in learning and teaching as well, you know, it seems that in Talmudic times, people had other jobs. And that's why they didn't have to charge money for practicing medicine, because they earned their living through some other job. And therefore, it would be inappropriate to charge money for doing the mitzvah. Of course, if a person has no other job, then he needs a way to earn a living. So, you know, are we going to tell him, you know, okay, no, actually, even though there's lots of cholim that really could use your treatment, close up shop halfway through the day and become a lawyer the other half of the day, so, you know, you'll be able to work in the morning. I don't know if that's the right thing to do either. But the poskim different kulas. Obviously, a charging for expenses, charging for things like a malpractice insurance, all those types of things are going to be okay. There's some creative answers. You could charge for compensation for liability for malpractice suits, which is difficult because you're paying for insurance anyway. There are different theories here how to justify the common practice of charging. Another interesting discussion is extortion and exorbitant fees. So it says in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, "Haya boreach mi beis asurim v'haya mavoris lefanav amar lo tol dinar v'avireni ein lo al ascharo." Alma, Amar Lai, Mishata Nibach. So somebody's running away from jail, and he needs to cross the river. And the river, there's a standard rate, presumably, for ferrying across the river. But the ferryman knows that you're running from the police, so he says, usually it costs $10 to cross the river, I want $1,000. So the person could say, okay, fine. And then, after he crosses the river, Enel al Escharo, you could say, Mishatani Bach, oh yeah, I was joking when I said I'd pay you $1,000. Now, how does that similar thing the Gemara says by Chalitza, if a fellow refuses, you know, really should be doing Chalitza and he refuses, unless he's bribed, you could do a similar thing. So the question is, how does this apply to medicine? So the Balei HaTosfos and the Ramban make a very interesting distinction. They say that, well, when it comes to medicine, that rule would apply. Meaning to say, if a patient needs medicine, and the going rate for this pill is $10 a pill, but he knows that if the patient doesn't get it, he's going to be in danger, so he says, I'm going to charge you $100 for the pill. The patient could say, okay, and then give him only $10 the going rate. Now, technically speaking, this doesn't address the modern question of charging $1 million, and that's the market rate, because you have a monopoly and the like. So that's a different issue. The Gemara elsewhere talks about maximum profits for necessary goods. The Gemara talks about it in terms of flour and oil and the like. Interesting question about how that would apply to medicine and what about R&D and the like. But then the Ramban says that there's a difference between that and medical services. Let's say somebody's a top doctor, and even though the going rate for this procedure is $2,500, he's the super-duper star, and he says, okay, I'm going to charge $25,000. Can you go ahead and say yes, and then just say, okay, no, I'm going to pay you the going rate, you know, what my insurance says it's supposed to cost, which is, you know, one-tenth of what you're charging? So the Ramban says that you can't. I'll read it to you. This is from the Ramban. He talks about it both here in the Tar Sadim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, as well as the Chidushim in Yevamos, and Daf Kovav Mralef. Shamina mina, demishu cholom v'samanin biyad chaveiro, shavin esrin, v'isna lavlitein harbi b'davim machmas ones cholyo, ein lo ala demayin, aval rifahu yesh lo scharo mishalem. But if he says, I want $25,000 for my medical services, then you have to pay him the full amount if you agree. Why? Shachach maso maso lo, v'ishave damim harbe. This guy, who's the top surgeon, so he says, look, why am I charging you so much more? It's not like a pill. It's my chachma. You can't put a number on my chachma. My chachma is of infinite value. I'm giving you a great deal, charging you only $25,000, even if the surgery only takes 15 minutes. V'yesh mefarshim time adamas nisin mishem dechayev hu latzilo mishem hashav zavedo mishem halchi ein lo el eschar o kipol batal udvarayem ein lo rofe el eschar batal shalo v'lo mistavra demedaminan le lechalitza bishmaitin dami kol makom leka leachiv mamish lemechlatz v'lishna demeshata nibach nami deka hachi kedepishis. It's an interesting discussion. We're not going to get into the details what meshata anibach means. Anyway, that's the pure view of the Ramban. The Ritva, though, disagrees. The Ritva writes, the Ritva quotes the Ramban, Avar Rabbeinu Agadol Kasav Kol HaPosikim HaRofei HaRbei Chayev Litein Lo Ki Chachmaso Machar Lo Shehi Shave Kama Ve'enu Machover. I don't think this is right. Sheharei Chayev Hu Litroch V'Chachmaso L'Rifuaso Medina Vedas Gufo. Ah, meaning to say, fundamentally, conceivably this is true, this logic of chachmas o maser lo. If it wasn't for the fact that it was a mitzvah, an obligation upon the rofe to cure the patient. If this was not something that you're obligated to do, you know, if it was, I was giving him a massage or, I don't know, some other skill, somebody's really good at a skill, so then, yeah, then you could say there's no chachmas o maser lo and the like. But when it comes to medical treatment, there's an obligation upon the doctor to heal the patient. And therefore, v'dayo b'schar tircho k'pal batal o k'fi aroi lo. So therefore, it's not exactly clear what this would mean, the doctor only gets, even though the patient agreed to the exorbitant fee, the doctor only gets either schar tircho or k'pal batal or k'fi aroi lo. Now if you look carefully at the Ramah on our simon, he's trying to be miyashev the kash of the Ritva. The Ritva's question isn't quoted in the Beis Yosef, but the Ramah is really addressing it. Because what does he write? He writes that, basically, since all mitzvos asay, deramia kule alma im nizdamna le'achad v'lo ratzu l'kaima el b'macho mamon yachol et b'ha mamon. Right? Meaning to say what? That even though you're right, technically speaking, Alpitari has to do this, but we can't compel him to do it. If a person is obligated to a mitzvah, but he says, I'm only going to do that mitzvah if you pay me, then you have to pay him, if you've agreed to pay him, if it's a mitzvah saseh derami akulei alma, meaning everybody could have done it, who says it has to be you? And what's the source for this? So if you look at the Gra, he says it's the Gemara in Kiddushin, Chesam Adbeitz. This is a Geshmaka, a Sugya. If you remember the Gemara, Kelev Ratza Chareha, right, but who are not the kamatzla nafsha mine gamu makni ale nafsha o dilma matzia amrele vidaraisa chiyuve mechayav talatzulan. So the Gemara ends that it's a teku. So the Gra understood that the Gemara was just a shailu gemiris das, but be'etzem it's shayach to be tovea mamon on it. There's an interesting question about this a little more, but for now we'll leave it. So that's an interesting discussion over here. Okay, turning to Simon Shin Lamed Ches, we have the idea of vidui. So you see from the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch that the ikar of vidui is tehei misasi kapara. It's not chatasi avisi pashati, which is very interesting, right? Meaning, see, I would have thought that the ikar vidui is you know, like we say, shamnu bagadnu gazalnu, or at least chatasi avisi pashati. But you see that the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramban all say the ikar vidui is tehei misasi kapara. I'll call avonosai. So why is that the ikar vidui? And perhaps the answer is that in general there's pirut hachet, right? Ashamnu bagadnu gazalnu, or again at least chatasi avisi pshati, but there's also kabbalah laba, right? But this, there's no kabbalah laba over here, because this is vidui samach lamisa. Yeah, I'm never going to do this aveir again. Shkayach. That's not saying very much. So rather, this vidui has a different focus, and the focus of this vidui is a type of tzidduk hadin. And that's not easy. A person's sick; he's in a lot of pain, and when he says, "Tehei." You know, misasi kapara, he's basically being matzdik alav es hadin. It's a maisa. Rabbi Yoshua Reinitz's father recently passed away, so I wasn't at the Levaya, but Yoshua told me when I was paying a shiva call that Rabbi Tursky said a hesped. And in the hesped, for reasons... Yeshua's father wasn't able to actually say vidui before he was nifter, but he said, when Rav Tursky was visiting him a day or two before, he said, I must have done something to deserve this. And so Rav Tursky said to Levi, that's vidui. He said vidui, because that's what it is. It's saying, it's this tzedek hadin. It's saying, tei misasi kaparetz. It's saying that that there's a din and the like. That's, I think, one aspect, and a very, somewhat of a unique aspect to the vidui over here. Another aspect is something we talked about recently, that there's a roshim from every chet. And
a roshim?
A roshim. The chet is, right, like we saw from that Ramban. And sometimes tshuva could get rid of the roshim. And sometimes, like the Gemara says, you need Yom HaKippur and V'yisurim. And sometimes you need Misa. And when you say Te Misasi Kapara, that transforms the Misa. It allows it to be that Kapara. And that's what some of the other Makoros over here imply. It turns you almost into a Karban, that's Bala Chaper. And in fact, the source for this Vidoy is from Karbanos, right? V'ashma nefeshahi v'hisvadu, which is by Hashem Gzelos. And that's a binyanav, the Gemara says, that meisim sheyisvadu. In other words, just like the karban isn't effective without vidui at removing the roshem of this chait, that's what the Ramban writes, that the purpose of the karban is to remove the roshem from the chait, so too, when a person says vidui, this vidui, so that allows their misa to be a kapara, and the like, right? Misa becomes a kapara when you define it as such, and that's what this vidui does, and that's why this vidui is a little different than a regular vidui. It's not the ikaron about pirut hachet, certainly not about kabbalah haba, but it's about te misasi kapara. It's about defining the misa as a kapara. Yeah.
No, no, no. Shuva talks about the ikar shuva being able to in the same situation and still. Then he says, even close to misa, if you do it there, it sounds like he's saying that the vidui is that I wouldn't do it again if I had the opportunity to.
Okay, so I agree. In other words, you're saying that there is kabbalah laba. doesn't, it means in theory, right? If, in theory, if presented, it's a simon in terms of how complete his tshuva was. Yeah, I do think that's true. But at the same time, it's not the focus. In other words, the hard work when you're doing tshuva normally, when you're hoping to live, is that Kabbalah Rabbah. I mean, it's not hard if you just say, I won't do it again. But it's very hard for it to be real and meaningful. We all know how easy it is to relapse from the things that we've done tshuva for. So I think what you see from this siman is that the there's really a different focus on this vidui. It's not the regular vidui that has pirat achet and kabbalah laba and the like, but rather it's these two themes that we've said. Okay, shin lamites. So here, for the little time we have left, we're going to talk about some of the end of life issues, and that whatever we get to today we'll do, and then tomorrow Bezus Hashem will begin with Shin Mem, which is Kriya. So there's a very interesting question. Our Simon, there's that long Ramah in the Darkei Moshe and the Shulchan Aruch as well, which is dealing with a Goses. And what the Ramah tells us is that, and again, we'll read it very carefully, try to figure out what he means, but certain types of removals of treatment are okay, even though they're going to cause the person to die. So that raises an interesting question. Presumably, maybe not, we'll see, that some posts can deny this, but presumably, we're talking here about a situation, again, it's an interesting case, Gosis Lizman Aruch, but where there's no, if you're allowed to remove treatment and cause him to die, and maybe even it's a mitzvah to do so, so obviously, again, maybe it's not true, but at least intuitively that would indicate that there's no mitzvah of refuah, right? It would be very strange to say you're allowed to bring about the person's death, and you also have a mitzvah to cure him. So let's ask a different question. Is there a mitzvah / obligation to save the person? And even more, what about Shabbos? Is one allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Goses? A Goses, classically defined as someone who's not going to live for another 3 days. He's not going to make it until the next Shabbos. So this is a big Machlokas Achronim. And you saw it quoted over here in the Pesachei Tshuva. The Beis Yaakov says, Taka, you can't be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Goses. And the Shvus Yaakov disagrees. He says it's permissible. The consensus of Poskim is to follow the opinion of the Shvus Yaakov and to assume that there is indeed a mitzvah satzala to save the life of a Goses, even if that means only extending his life for a short period of time, and that mitzvah would override Shabbos restrictions. The Kal V'chomer notwithstanding, it's not just Shabbos Osarbe, but it's any life, and even Chaye Shah. Now, that brings us to figuring out what is our Ramah talking about. So we really have to discuss two things. One is what we could call the standard Goses, and the second is this unique Goses. Just a marmakom, and a lot of what I got, and I'm going to present to you, not all, but a lot of it is from a fabulous article by Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai on this topic, which is published in the RJJ Journal a number of years ago. So, what does our Shulchan Aruch write over here? Again, Shin Lamites Sif Aleph. Hagoseis Hareyu Kachai L'chol Dvarav. Right? So, Hagoseis is like a chai. L'chol Dvarav is very interesting. How literal is that? We'll return to that question. So, Ein Koshvin L'chayav, Ve'ein Sachanoso, Ve'ein Madichanoso, Ve'ein Pokekines Nekava, Ve'ein Shomtin Hakar Mitachtav. So the basic thing that's things that are being described here, they know no sol gabi achol, the lo gabi charsis, lo gabi adama. These are all things that you do once a person has died. Once a person has died, you put him on the ground, It keeps him cool. You have only a certain amount of time before his muscles start freezing up, so you lay him flat and you do different things. So these are all things that would be done once a person's dead. And what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is, make sure you don't start doing them when he's still a goseis. And not only that, but I was going to read that it's not just like, it's not so nice, you know, give him a chance to die, but it's murder, because any movement of this goseis could cause him to die. Ve'nosnin al kriso lo ka'are ve'lo magrefa ve'lo tzluchis shal mayim ve'lo gargir shal melach ve'en mashmi'in alav ayaros. Right, so again, you don't start making the announcements. Then shofchin chalilin umakonon, sochrin chalilin umakononos. Don't start hiring the band for the levaya. Ve'en me'amtin einav adshetetz einafsho. Right, don't close his eyes, which is the first thing, or one of the first things you do after he's died. V'chol ma'amets im yitzias neshama rezes shofech tamim. Why? Why shofech tamim? Because you might cause him to die a second earlier, a couple seconds earlier, by moving him, by even closing his eyes. Ve'en korin v'lo choltzin v'lo maspidin alav. There are two reasons for this, but the main reason is because he's hanging on by a thread, and if he sees you starting to take kriya over him, he's going to give up on all hope. Ve'en machnisin imar an labayis at shiyamas. So that brings up a question, if we get to it in a couple minutes, well, what about if he doesn't know? Can you start preparing for the Levaya? So normally you'd say, okay, you know, just wait, what's the big deal? The poskim discuss, you saw in the Pesachei Tshuva, sometimes you do want to start preparing for burial. For example, let's say it's Erev Shabbos, and you want to bury him before Shabbos, but if you don't start digging the grave, then you're not going to have time. So in that case, we might say it's the right thing to do. So we'll get back to that. But when you're doing it in the presence of the patient, where he might notice, you don't know what he's going to notice, so then it's absolutely wrong, because doing those death preparations while he's still alive might in fact hasten his death. V'ein poschen alav b'tzidak adin ad shetetze nafsho. Good. So that's the machaber. That's all very straightforward. No big chidushim here. When things get very confusing is with the Rambam. Haga, so then he says, V'chein aser ligrom l'mei shiyamos meheira. So you can't be goreim. So that word goreim is going to be very important, as you saw, as he makes a little more clearly also in the Darkei Moshe. Based off of the Rishonim, we're going to make a distinction between grama ligrom shiyamos meheira, which is aser always, versus meisir hamoneya, which means that when there's something preventing him from dying, you may be permitted to remove that thing preventing him from dying, but what you can't do is actively cause him to die quicker. So what are the examples? What's an example of something that's aser ligrom shiyamos meheira? Kagon. Mishu gosis man arach. So again, note the terminology here, gosis man arach, which is a very unusual term. What does arach mean? Usually, as we said, ghosts can die in 3 days. Are we talking about a special category of ghosts? Possibly, we'll see. So if your ghost is man aruch, v'lo yuchal lihi pared, meaning to say the neshama is trying to leave, separate from the guf, right? That's basically what misa is the separation of the guf and the neshama. The neshama is trying to leave, but something is preventing that from happening. That might kill him. See, if you pull out the pillow from under his head, mikach sheomrim sheyesh nitzotzos miktsas ofo shegormin zeh v'chein lo yazizanu mimakomo. So why would you want to talk and pull out the pillow from under his head? Poor guy. Answer is that you think that there's a certain type of feather in his pillow, and this feather is being ma'akev the yitzias haneshama. So you want to take away the pillow. Answer is you can't, because that's going to move him. That might cause him to die quicker. That's aser because it's being gorim yit shiyamos mehera, which is aser. V'chein, aser lasum maftechos beisach knesses tachas rosho kideshi pared. Apparently that's also a skula. Aval, im yesh davar shegorim ikov yitzis nefesh kigon sheyesh samach losu bayis kol dofek kigon chotev etzim. So somebody's outside chopping wood. And apparently that sound is what's keeping him alive. So you are allowed to tell the guy, yeah, please stop chopping wood, because you're being goreim the, you know, you're preventing, sorry, you're preventing the neshama from leaving. And likewise, oshiyesh melach al lishono. There's a piece of salt on his tongue that's apparently, again, preventing him from dying. Sounds like you're allowed to remove the salt. So the Shach and the Taz have a machlokas over here. The Taz doesn't like that because you're going to move the guy when you remove the salt. He thinks you can't remove salt from a tongue. The Shach says, no, you could do it very, very delicately and carefully and presumably remove the salt from the tongue without moving him at all, so it'd be okay. And that's going to cause him to die, right? That's because the salt is being ma'akev yitzias neshama. So mutal asir risham, dein b'zeh ma'is klal, it's not a ma'is, ela me'isir shemesir hamoneya. Okay, azay zak derama. So again, what can't you do? You can't hurry the death of a goseis. What can you do? You could remove the impediment from the soul's departure. What's the difference between the two? That's the first question. How do we define me'isir moneya, which is mutar, and ligrom shiyamos mehera, which is aser? Number two is the question we raised earlier, which is that, assuming for a moment, as we said before, that we paskin that you are even allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save the life of the goseis, so then how are you also allowed to cause him to expire quickly? Isn't that a violation of Osama al Damriyacha? So, and then, you know, we also have to consider how that's going to relate to the modern applications, like removing a respirator. What's that? Is that Meisir Monet? Is that Guam Shiyamos Harbe? And the like. So, this source, this distinction between Meisir Monea and Ligrom Shiyamos Harbe is from the Shilte Giborim, who has a diuk in the Sefer Chassidim, and that's where this distinction comes from, and might comes from Maseches Smachos. Just for your, if you're confused when you're learning Hilchos Avelos, so Maseches Smachos is the same thing as Avel Rabasi. It's referred to as both by the Rishonim and the like. Smachos is just a euphemistic word for it. There's also an Avel Zutrasi, which is has certain passages from the Gemara that are from Maseches Avel that we don't have in our Maseches Avel. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit another time, but not for now. Now, if you look back at that Maseches Machos, though, that's the makor for this. It compares the neshama to a candle that's flickering and about to go out. And if you put your finger on the flame, it immediately extinguishes. So that's Aser. Okay. Now we can go to our first question, which is again Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, right? How could we have allowed to do Pikuach Nefesh and save the guy, have a mitzvah to save the guy, versus, and at the same time, basically allow to do Hasara Samoneh and cause him to die quicker? So there's two approaches you could take. One approach is to say, yes, there's a stira. It doesn't make any sense that you're allowed to hasten somebody's death and have an obligation to heal him. That's a stira. And you have to resolve the stira. So Rabbi Bleich, for example, is of this view. And he says, since we paskin that you're Mechal Shabbos, it must be that saving his life is obligatory, and therefore whatever is done, whatever can be done to prolong the life of the goseis is necessary and is required and is a mitzvah and is a nechova. How do you explain this from Ma? So he has an interesting theory. He says, well, what types of treatments are the Rama talking about? Is this refuah? This is not refuah. Come on. Salt? Feathers? Wood chopping? That is not refuah. Now, these are non-therapeutic remedies. These are skulos. And removing of skulos is permitted. Now you might just say, no, what are you talking about? This is olden day medicine. Olden day medicine was quack medicine, and this is quack medicine. And you know, Rabbi Bleich is just being ahistorical. But the answer is it's not true. First of all, Bleich would never do that. The answer is in halacha itself, we find a difference between medicine and skulos. For example, one of the most famous discussions of this is the Rambam and the Pirshei Mishnayos and Maseches Yoma. Anyone learn Yoma this year? Nobody? All right. Well, anyway, it's in Parak Ches. Ein halacha ke Rabbi Masya ben Chersh shehitir lahachil es adam yom tzom ha-kippur yoseres kavej shel kelev shota im nashach mepnei she'eno mawil ela bederach skula v'chachamim omrim ein ovrin ala mitzvah ela beripoi bilvad shudavar barur she'igayon v'anisayon apashut mechayven oso. So we know, of course, you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur or do any malacha on Shabbos on Yom Kippur to save a life. That's talking about medicine, right? What's medicine? Something that's barur, shahigayon, venesayon, mechayvenoso. It makes sense. We know how it works. Or even if we don't know how it works, we've experimented and shown that it works. Sometimes they're medicines. They work. We just don't know how. That's real medicine. That's not skula. Aval ripui biskulos lo, says the Rambam, but that's a machlokas tonight, we paskin, that you can't do ripui biskulos on Yom Kippur. Lefish in yanam chalush lo yichayvu hahigayon v'nisyono rachok. Okay, so if there's no medical logic and there's no empirical evidence, so that is considered refuah skulos. And there's a big machlokas what the Rambam means, and this relates to the Mishnah and Shabbos about going out with the fox tooth, and there is a famous Chuvas Arash about this, and whether or not the Machlokas, there is a Machlokas Rambam and Rashba. This is a very, very, very big sugya. Very fun, fascinating sugya. If we had time, we would surely do it, but we don't. But one way or the other, halacha makes this distinction between medical remedies and non-therapeutic remedies. So this Rama is only talking about non-therapeutic remedies. Non-therapeutic remedies, there's no mitzvah to save people with non-therapeutic remedies. You're not Mechal Shabbos for non-therapeutic remedies. Even if you think they work, right? Even if you think they work. You're not allowed to, write a kapitel and send it to the Rebbe. Not to say that the Rebbe's tefillos aren't effective. It's very effective. But that's not what the Torah is matir. Again, I'm sort of oversimplifying it, but the same thing with these skulos. Fine. However, many poskim disagree with Rabbi Bleich, among them Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he says, no, it's not a steer at all. Basically, they argue that a person who, at a certain point in time, there are going to be situations where if you wish to be Mechal Shabbos to save a life, you could do so. And if you wish to leave the person to die, because let's say they're in an extreme pain or the like, again, the parameters of this have to be clarified, but then you could do so as well. The way Shlomo Zalman puts it is that, extremely righteous people value every second of life, even if it comes at great pain, and therefore they'll want these things to be done, but that's not something that the Torah imposes upon everybody. And therefore, when you have a situation where the person wants to die, or we understand that the person would want to die, then you still can't kill him. But passively not doing treatments or even removal of certain types of treatments are going to be okay. It's possible then that A, you could be Mechal Shabbos, and at the same time also be allowed to remove treatment. So the way Rabbi Willig puts it, based off of other poskim, is that, yes, on Shabbos, we're Mechal Shabbos even for Chayisha, even though there's no Kal Vachomer, you could do another mitzvah, and every life, every second is precious. But The whole source for healing somebody, for curing somebody, as we said, is vashevosolo. Just like Hashavas Aveda, it's only true when it's good for the person. So if you have a situation of tov lo maves mechayim, then the mitzvah vashevoso of curing him doesn't apply. Okay, again, that has to be defined. Now, again, the goses we're talking about here is not necessarily the classical goses, as we've seen. It's a goses man arach. So the poskim discuss at length, the contemporary poskim, what types of modern treatments can be withdrawn under these circumstances. So some of the most extreme poskim allow for, let's say, the example of a respirator, and they say that's the same thing as removing the grain of salt. Why? Because they argue, Chaim David Halevi has a tshuva about this, and he says that, I think, basically, this is hasara samoneya. Removing the ventilator is stopping the pumping of air. What's keeping him alive is the pumping of air. You remove the ventilator, you're stopping the pumping of air, so that's just hasara samoneya. However, most poskim disagree. They say, no, if the ventilator is already in place, then removing the ventilator is not hasara samoneya. That's like moving the pillow that's beneath him, right? In other words, once it's part of his environment, it's not like the guy chopping wood, which is outside of his environment. His situation is that now he's on the respirator. So while maybe it's true that you don't have to put him on a ventilator, if tov lo maves mechayim, but to take him off a ventilator would be different. However, the situation might change when, if something has to be changed anyway, or it's off. Rabbi Willig thinks, for example, that you can't turn it off entirely, but perhaps you could lower it to the normal amount of breathing. Right, let's say it's on 100% oxygen. You could bring it down to 21% oxygen. That's normally, that's what air is. Or if it's 20 breaths a minute, you could bring it down to 8, which is normal breathing, even though that's going to obviously bring about his death relatively quickly. Then there are the differences that some poskim say between basic life needs, like food and oxygen, versus medicine, and even which types of medicine, and the like. So, if we had time for this, we would do it. But we don't. So you get the last question.
I was just wondering, regarding Beck's argument, let's say experimental methods of treatment, which doctors don't understand, but they have all the time, they won't be able to use them on Shabbos. We don't know if it works. We kind of saw some trials that seemed to...
Yeah, so that would be a Shaila. In other words, you have to figure out when experimental goes from schooly to refui,
right,
and the like. Now, obviously, these are, life and death situations, and a person must treat them with utmost care, and great poskim must be asked. What we did today is just... a little hakdama about some of the issues that come up, but obviously there's much more to say. Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we're going to start from Shin Mem. Have a good day.